Well, good morning, everyone. There was a guy who placed an ad on a local affairs website. It went like this. It says, I have two tickets to the 2017 Super Bowl. A friend and I paid $1,500 each for these, and I didn't realize when I bought them that it would be on the same day as my wedding at St. Thomas's Church. I'm looking for someone to replace me. Her name is Amanda. She's 5'6", tall, 120 pounds, and she's a great cook, too. She'll be wearing a white dress. Oh, okay. Sometimes we can be blind to some of the most important aspects of our life. And it is the same in our spiritual lives as well. We can be blind to what God is doing and wants to do because we fail to see the obvious. In essence, we create blind spots in our daily walk with the Lord. Blind spots hinder our view of the whole picture. Probably all of us have had an experience of driving along in your vehicle and you want to change lanes and you check all the mirrors to make sure that you can move over and you see nothing. And then you're about to make your move, you look over your shoulder and you're startled that the car you didn't see before in your blind spot. It was hidden from your sight. Even with all the sensors that we have today on cars, a car can still be hidden from our sight. As we look at the gospel lesson today, we see several cases of spiritual blind spots of sorts. These are spots that Jesus wants to bring to light, but there are issues that are hindering their view. We can actually see blind spots in four groups of people in our gospel reading today. The first group that had a blind spot, as I see it, were actually the disciples. These guys are in a learning mode, and Jesus is revealing a lot to them. At the beginning of Lent, I encouraged us to read through the book of John and just look at what the disciples have seen in the preceding chapters. Some of them we covered on Sunday mornings. We had the visit of Nicodemus. We had the Samaritan woman at the well, healing of a crippled man. Jesus feeds 5,000 people. He walks on water. He forgives an adulteress. And just before this reading, Jesus is almost stoned and he slips out of the crowd like he wasn't even there. And in the midst of all of this, in the previous chapter, Jesus tells the Pharisees and those who are listening these words, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And after a discussion about all of that, here comes this great object lesson. There's a man born blind. But look at the disciples' first reaction to the blind man. Who sinned, the man or his parents? You see, it was assumed in those days that if you had an infirmity or born with one, someone sinned. It's easy to look at a situation and judge somebody rather than helping someone out of that situation. What they had was a blind spot. They were blind to the fact that all have sinned and fallen short. It is a fallen world that we live in. Jesus comes along and says, this blindness is not caused by sin. And what Jesus did was something that might be kind of high on someone's grossometer. Jesus spits in the dirt, rubs the mud in the man's eye, and told him to go wash. I've shared with some of you before an embarrassing moment that I had for about 40 some odd years ago, where I actually did this to try to heal my nearsightedness. And all I got was dirt in my eye. You see, there's no formula when it comes to praying for healing. Jesus did what he did for a reason, and it was special for this person. But I think there's more to it. There's a lot of symbolism here. The man exercising his faith by going and washing is certainly a factor in this. The place where he went and washed is a factor, the place called sin. But consider this for a moment. Adam was made from the dust of the earth. He was made perfect in God's image, but became spiritually blinded by sin. Jesus, the Son of God, the second Adam, which he is called, perfect and without sin, takes the dust of the earth, spits in it, and makes mud, puts it in a blind man's eye to bring light. That man received more than just physical light. He received spiritual light as well. The disciples had to learn that Jesus came to bring light to all who would receive him. They had to learn that all have sinned and fallen short. You see, they will be instrumental in bringing light into the world. The question for us is, how many times are we quick to judge without asking first, how can I be used in this situation? How can I bring light into this situation? It doesn't mean we don't recognize sin for what it is, but how do we react to it? Father, my neighbor is a real pill in my life. How can I share your light with that person? Father, a friend at work takes your name in vain every single day. I hate it. I know where this person's come from, but I hate it. How can I share your light with that person? There are so many times that instead of judging, we should be introducing the light of Christ into a situation. Now let's look at the next blind spot. The blind man has this wonderful miracle happen in his life, and he sees for the first time, well, how marvelous that must be for him. But look at the reaction of the people. They are so full of unbelief. This can't be the same man. No one born blind can see. Can you imagine having to prove who you are because you have a healing take place in your life? He couldn't just whip out an ID card and show him a picture on his driver's license. He didn't have a social security number to prove who he was. Some were saying that he just looks like the other guy. The people are all so troubled by the whole ordeal that they take this poor guy before the Pharisees. How skeptical are we of the things of God? Have you ever thought that something is just too big to believe that God could ever want or could do because we're skeptical? Whatever it is, just doesn't go along with what you can see, touch, feel. We put so many limits on what God can do because we also, at times, have blind spots. That God doesn't care or even wants to interact into our lives. If that were true, why are we even here today? Our attitude can become an attitude of, I can't do this. This is too big for me. On our own, that's true. I've shared with you before, when I came here to be rector 12 years ago, I sat down on the side of the bed and told Debbie, I can't do this. She looked me square in the eye and said, you can't. God can. God is so much bigger than we can ever imagine. He does interact in our lives by his Spirit. He does want to use us in the physical world to do his bidding. We just need to open our hearts to allow him to do it. We need to get rid of the blind spot in thinking that we're on our own or that something is just too big for God. Whatever it might be, it might not be going our way, but it doesn't mean that God doesn't want to walk us through it. We got to get rid of that blind spot. Then we come to the third blind spot. The Pharisees now have this healed man before them, but you see that for some of them, the issue wasn't that he was healed. The issue was that Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. He broke the law in their minds. Therefore, if Jesus broke the law, he can't be from God. But others said, well, what sinner can heal a blind man? And here we go into this big theological debate when the evidence is standing right there in front of them. So we have this examination and cross-examination going on, all based on a tradition of law. Jesus broke the mold of tradition. We talked about traditions a few weeks ago. It's not that traditions are bad. Everything we do has some tradition or pattern to it that we might make. You may have a tradition to go to the beach every Saturday morning. We can do that in Sarasota. But if something comes up and you can't go and it ruins your life because on that Saturday morning you couldn't go to the beach, you've made that tradition an idol. The Pharisees morphed into worshiping tradition. If you break the tradition, then you can't come from God. In essence, their tradition becomes the object of worship and becomes an idol. And that is what Jesus was trying to get across to the Pharisees all along. He didn't come to take away the law. He came to fulfill it. You see, the law becomes inscribed in our hearts through the Holy Spirit when we receive Christ into our hearts. The Pharisees were so bound by tradition that they saw the healing of someone and as a form of work on the Sabbath. The intent of the law was to put a day aside as a holy day and spend it with the Lord and worship him and give him honor for who he is. What is more holy than someone becoming whole? They had this huge blind spot that blocked the truth. So we ask ourselves, what do we idolize in our lives? What is more important in your life than God? Do we have traditions that are so important that if you changed it, it would affect your life? We as a denomination are rich in traditions. Those are great. Traditions help us to remember and be focused on the Lord. But they're not something to be worshipped. We worship God and God alone. Finally, we come to the fourth blind spot. The parents were brought before the Pharisees to testify on behalf of their son. And there is basically two questions that are asked of them. Is this your son who was born blind? And how is it that he now sees? They answer the first question, yes, he is our son, and yes, he was born blind. But they skirted the second question. They say, ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself. Don't ask us. They were afraid to acknowledge the truth. They were afraid because, as we read, anyone who acknowledges that Jesus was the Christ would be put out of the synagogue. They feared being excommunicated. They feared being shunned by the temple. They feared being shunned by their peers in the village, by their friends. Maybe they feared being made fun of or ridiculed or acknowledged the truth about Jesus. Fear is one of the biggest hindrances in our walk with Christ. What will people think of me? What will my friends now say of me? I've shared before when I was in college and came to Christ, and some of my old friends asked me to go out on the town, and I knew what their idea of going out of the town would be. And I said, those reasons grieved my heart now. There's no way I could do what they were going to be going and doing. It's like I alluded to last week. It's not that anyone told me I couldn't do it, but I have a free will. But the Spirit of God was convicting my heart that there's a better way. And my eyes of my heart were once blinded to the truth were beginning to come open at that point. So I had to make a choice. I didn't criticize my friends. I simply said something's happened, and I told them what had happened. And that is exactly what Paul is talking about in our reading from Ephesians. Listen to this. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Did you get that? He didn't say you were once in darkness or now that you are in light. He said you were darkness and now you are light. Imagine traveling up 75 at night and it's pitch black, no ambient light, no moon out to give you any light. And you're going 70 miles an hour and your headlights fail. That'd be terrifying, wouldn't it? That's what it's like spiritually without Christ. We are traveling through life at full speed. And we don't know what's ahead, behind or on the sides. Pretty soon we are going to hit something that might get our attention. It might not. But we do see, but then we do see the truth in Christ. And when we accept this wonderful relationship he is offering us, it is like the lights of life coming on in us. Suddenly we see the road ahead of us. Suddenly we see the sign that tells us there's a curve up there, you're going to have to make a turn. Suddenly we see the obstacles that might be ahead that we want to steer clear of. Suddenly the word that he has given us comes alive as his truth is revealed to us. That's what the Holy Spirit does. And you become a light in the world. A light produced by the Spirit of God in and through Jesus Christ in you. But we have to be mindful of the blind spots. Those areas around us that creep up on us if we're not paying attention. That is praying and seeking him daily, reading his word, know him. In closing, there is one more person in this story that we need to look at. And that is the blind man himself, the recipient of this wonderful, wonderful miracle. He was pressured by the Pharisees, not once, but twice. And I love the dialogue that he had with these guys. He says, I've already answered you once. Why do you want to know it again? Do you want to become one of his disciples too? What else could he say? He's already explained it. But then he said this. Look, one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. And what a difference that made in his life. What a difference that can make in all our lives. When Jesus caught up with him after he was thrown out of the synagogue, the man worshiped him. This man gained more than his sight, something more precious than his sight. He gained new life. Again, Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That light clears up all the blind spots that we create for ourselves. The thought for us to ponder is this. For some, it might be, I need my headlights turned on. I've never experienced this before. For others, it might be, I've got blind spots that I need taken care of. And it's hindering my view of the Lord. You don't have to walk into darkness. You don't have to have blind spots in life. God wants you to be light. He wants you to be a beacon of his hope in the world. He wants to make a difference in and through you. Allow him to shine in you. Allow him to free you of those blind spots that we have all created for ourselves so we can see clearly where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do. May we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you care so much that you came into our lives and that we can have a new life in and through you. Father, help us with our blind spots. Help us, Lord, to get rid of those areas in our lives that might be hindering our walk, that might be shadowing the truth. Father, we ask that you would help us to walk in the light so that we might be used by you mightily in the world around us. Help us to be light, Lord God. Strengthen us in your word. Strengthen us through your spirit, Lord God, as we step out of this place and go into the world where there's all kinds of people searching, all kinds of people in different kinds of conditions. But Father, you've called us to do something about that, to be an example, to give a good word, to give a word of encouragement and wholeness and healing. So Father, we ask that you would encourage us in that. For each person here, I pray, Father, each person listening, maybe through the internet, that you would hear us, Lord God, as we reach out to you. And reach out to others. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.